One of the greatest theologians that ever lived, certainly in the last century, a man by the name of Karl Barth, was asked to be a guest lecturer at the University of Chicago Divinity School. And at the end of a captivating closing lecture to a series of lectures, the president of the seminary announced that Dr. Barth was not well and was quite tired. And he thought that though Dr. Barth would like to be open for questions, he shouldn't be expected to handle the strain of a long period of questioning. And then he said, "Therefore, I will ask just one question on behalf of all of us." And he turned to the renowned theologian and asked, "Of all the theological insights you have ever had, which do you consider to be the greatest of them all?" Well, that was the perfect question for a man who had written literally tens of thousands of pages of some of the most sophisticated theology ever put into print. And the students, they all held their pencils and their pens right up against their writing pads, ready to take down verbatim, the premier insight of the greatest theologian of their time. Karl Barth closed his tired eyes and thought for a minute, and then he half smiled and opened his eyes and said to these young seminarians, "The greatest theological insight that I have ever had is this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." My friends, I would submit to you this Christmas Eve evening that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest love story ever written. I wish with all my heart that everybody could read it that way. But I'm afraid to say that today this, the greatest love story ever written, is more often than not met with antipathy, or even more sadly these days, with a kind of hostile, militant atheism. Yes, people are celebrating, but for many the celebrations are little more than an empty shell, for they've not experienced the greatest love story ever, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And instead of experiencing and celebrating the love of God given to us in the birth of his Son, our Lord Jesus, for many the celebrations are really only skin deep. They're the kind of celebrations that never penetrate to the heart. And for some, they are only something to be spurned and rejected, much like an unwanted Christmas gift. Last week, my wife and I were once again privileged to join in the annual Christmas carol service at the Scottish Parliament building in Holyrood. Only this year, the word Christmas didn't appear on the programme. Instead, we were welcomed to the Parliament's festive evening. Now, to be fair, Alec Ferguson, the presiding officer, in his words of welcome and introduction to the evening, made it very clear that whatever we called the event, the Parliament festive evening was, for him and for those attending, a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. But for all the carols and readings, as well as the mince pies and the mulled wine, it was a sad reflection of our ever-increasingly secularised Scotland, that even our Parliament does not feel able to give a clear lead and call Christmas by its name. And in failing to do so, there is the very real possibility of missing the whole reason for this season. I thank God that Christmas comes around once a year to remind us that we are at the beginning of a classic love story with all of the right ingredients: infatuation, pursuit, risk, and relationship. But in all relationships of love, there does have to be that first meeting, doesn't there? This will be my daughter's third Christmas, and like many two-year-olds, she has been really excited putting on her new party dress, going to the parties, playing games, singing Christmas songs, even meeting Santa. And there's been a light in her eye as together we've read her books all about the birth of the baby Jesus. And more importantly, there's been the ever-growing bond of love between us. But what if she had been born to another set of parents? She would never have known the love of my wife and me. And we would never have known the love she has for us. My wife Elizabeth and I met more than 16 years ago when we were studying at the same university college and working with the homeless population in the Grassmarket in Edinburgh. And I don't think either of us can now imagine not being together. But there are always moments when I find myself asking these curious what if questions. What if I'd continued working in engineering rather than returning to Scotland to study divinity? What if I'd accepted a place at one of the other universities instead of choosing Edinburgh? What if we'd chosen to do something other than live and work in the Grassmarket Mission? Our lives might never have crossed paths. We might never have met. We might never have known this love we share and which we now, by God's grace, also share with our daughter. I think all of us at some time go through that same kind of experience. What if you had chosen to stay at home this evening? What if you'd gone out partying instead of deciding to come here and spend time in church? You might never have heard the story of God's love which we share tonight. And perhaps especially tonight, you need to hear a message of love. Perhaps your life circumstances this Christmas are very different from this time last year. Perhaps this has been a good year for you. But perhaps this year, you've experienced sadness and great loss. And so tonight, I submit to you that Christmas is a crossing of paths. Christmas is where we find the Christ of God intersecting with our humanity. Christmas is our first, best meeting with the God who has desired us from the very beginning. If it weren't for Christmas, we might never have known the intensity of the love that God has for us. Mary and Joseph found themselves far from home because of an imperial ruling. A peasant mother giving birth in unsanitary, substandard housing. There was no fanfare, no royal delegation. They just wiped the baby clean, wrapped him warmly, and laid him in a feeding trough. And they watched his little face. And they listened for his breathing like every new parent does. This couldn't be anything but true love. True love accepts the beloved for who they really are. God chooses to love us precisely because we are subjects of the human condition. Not because of our social, emotional or moral status. Mary and Joseph had nothing to commend them save their humanity. And God had waited ever so long and ever so patiently for one to be born into our world who was willing to finally embody this love that God has for us. Not some of the time, not when it was convenient, but in every waking breathing moment of every day. It's the birth of that love into our world that we celebrate tonight. Who would ever have guessed that this crossing of paths, this intersection of the divine and the human, would take place so long ago in a remote speck of dust village called Bethlehem in Judea? Who would have guessed that in that time and place, one who would be born into our world, who would one day fill his life so much with the experience of God, so much with the love of God, that in him thousands upon thousands would be moved to make the incredible claim that they had actually met God in person. This is the night when God sent out a love letter of cosmic proportions. This is the night in the little town of Bethlehem when God and humanity were joined as bride and groom on their wedding day. And as Jesus grew and went out into the world, so our understanding of just how much God loves us also grew. We find in Jesus that God's love doesn't demand perfection, that forgiveness isn't given away sparingly, but recklessly and indiscriminately, that unconditional really means unconditional, and that God's love is completely and thoroughly inclusive. We find that even the likes of us gathered here tonight fall within the embrace of that love, and that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We say that this is the season for peace on earth. But as every British soldier returning home from Iraq knows, peace is not something we can impose by might. True peace, rather, begins with the knowledge that God loves and accepts us just that much. And it begins with Christmas. Now, having said all of this, I know that Christmas is a time of sentiment that, as such, can cause a measure of sorrow to come into our focus. The Christmas season can give rise to some painful memories for a good number of folks, perhaps you're here tonight. And people often think about the failures they've suffered and about the loved ones they've lost. But I also know this. Without Christmas, even my relatively stable life would be positively unbearable. I'd like to close by telling you a story about a nativity play that, like life itself, didn't go quite as planned. There was a youth group in a certain church performing a manger scene. And Joseph and Mary and all of the other characters were in place and they were ready. They did their parts with seriousness and with commitment, looking as pious as they possibly could. And then it came time for the shepherds to enter. Dressed in their flannel bathrobes, toweled headgear, the shepherds proceeded to the front of the church, where Mary and Joseph looked very earnestly at the straw which contained a single naked light bulb that was playing the part of the glowing newborn Jesus, the light of the world. And with his back to the congregation, one of the shepherds said to the person playing Joseph, in a very loud whisper, for all the cast to hear, "Well, Joe, when are you going to pass out the cigars?" The solemn spell of that occasion was not simply broken by his remark. It was exploded. Mary and Joseph's cover was completely destroyed as it became impossible to hold back their bursts of laughter. Everyone laughed. The chief angel standing on a chair behind them was the worst of all. And she shook so hard in laughter that she fell off the chair and took the curtain backdrop with her. All the rest of the props came crashing down. And she just kept rolling around the floor, holding her stomach because she was laughing so hard. The whole set was in shambles. But you know what? The only thing that didn't go to pieces was that light bulb in the manger. It never stopped shining. My friends, that baby in the manger is the light of my world, even when my world is in shambles. For in that baby, the divine and the human cross paths. The infant Jesus is our living, breathing sign of the immeasurable love that God has had for all of us from the very beginning. Christmas is the living promise that we are never, ever alone. No matter where we are in life, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, no matter how far we might stray away or how unfaithful we are, God, the supreme lover, will pursue us in love for eternity. God's love is a love that never stops shining. May God bless each one of you and those that you love this Christmas night.